All right, let's lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Get our local view. He's the fine columnist for the Register Guard. Catch his work in the sports section. Well, mostly online, registerguard.com. Check out ducksports.com on Twitter. The handle's at Austin Meek, RG. Austin, how are things with you?
Hey, Steve, everything's great. How are you doing?
All right. So my Sunday routine starts usually with coffee, dog walking, open the paper, and then, you know, I'm happy when I see that an incoming ICBM from Russia isn't the headline. And then I'm reading the front page, and it's like, hey, that's Lucas Wilson, who I have no idea who it is, but I recognize the byline. So that was one of your, accurate to say, one of the most in-depth pieces you've done since you landed in Eugene?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say, and probably one of my favorite stories that I've done. You know, I was familiar with Lucas Wilson from when he was in high school. He started out at Springfield and then transferred to Churchill. He was one of those guys, you know, that there just was a buzz about him. Like, you know, he just was at a different level athletically than most of the guys he was going up against. You know, the crazy story about him is he played football when he was younger. And then he did not play football again until his senior year of high school. I believe he played in 6 games as a senior at Churchill. He played wide receiver. He was being recruited by Oregon and Oregon State to play football based on 6 games. That's how much of a freak athlete he was.
Amazing. You know, with my attention span, it took me like 3 sittings to finish your article. But so the like you said, it's the spring of 2017. He's just an all-around amazing athlete getting recruited to play in this conference. I mean, you'd think a young man like that would be kind of living large, but as you wrote, kind of the opposite. I mean, he was kind of unhappy, and I think also, as you pointed out, so he kind of saw his talent and potential is more of a burden?
Yeah, you know, it's a story that is probably not too uncommon in sports, but it's a story that maybe we don't hear a lot because, you know, I think a lot of athletes, you know, kind of put on the brave face, you know, that they're excited about playing sports in college. You know, they try not to seem stressed out or overwhelmed by it, but for a lot of them, I think it is really stressful, and it is really overwhelming to go through the recruiting process, to have everybody asking you, you know, where are you going to play, what sport are you going to play, and in the case of Lucas Wilson, you know, he also had some family stuff going on at that time that was really difficult for him, so he basically got to the point where, you know, he had a lot of options, and he just kind of said no to all of it. You know, his grades really slipped. He ended up not going anywhere after high school. He'd signed to play at LCC, but he just said, you know what, I need to get away from it. So he took a year, didn't really do anything, wasn't in school, wasn't playing sports, and I think a lot of people thought maybe we'd heard the last of Lucas Wilson, but, you know, the last chapter of the story that's really cool is how he's come back this year to play at LCC. He's got a really tight relationship with his coach there. It's just kind of a neat story to see how he's come back from that and sort of rediscovered his passion for basketball and really put himself on a better path.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. So for those who hadn't had a chance to catch the piece and aren't familiar with the names, you know, who is the coach? And it seems like, I guess the word would be stick-to-itiveness. He was intent on kind of seeing this thing through and land this young guy in what seems, as right now, a really stable, happy circumstance.
Yeah, the coach at LCC, his name is Joe White. He played high school basketball in this area. He ended up at Thurston about 10 years or so ago. He went on to Southern Oregon. He got into coaching, actually was coaching at a junior college up in Tacoma when Lucas was in high school and had recruited him there, and got a job as an assistant coach at LCC and was recruiting Lucas Wilson. And at the time, you know, like we talked about, Lucas was not really on board with the recruiting process, didn't really care for it, didn't want to talk to a lot of coaches, so they didn't really have much of a relationship Luke is actually signed to play at LCC without ever meeting the coach, Joe White, face-to-face. But they just kind of, kept in contact here and there. And, the coach just sort of let Lucas know, hey, when you're ready, I'm here. And, at a certain point in time, about a year ago, that light bulb just kind of came on for Lucas. And he said, you know what, I'm ready to play again. And the coach had sort of done the groundwork to build that relationship. And as they got to know each other, I think Lucas realizes, hey, this is exactly what I've been looking for, this relationship with this coach. It's more than just a guy who is his basketball coach, but somebody who can really be there, to help him with the life things that he's going through. And I think that relationship and coming back and being part of the team has actually been exactly what Lucas needed to help him deal with some of the family stuff that he was going through.
Folks, you can archive it. It's also on Austin's Twitter account, dated yesterday. Let's dive over to a men's hoops. So now they're the hottest team in the Pac-12, which I guess is like being the best actor on Jersey Shore in a season like this.
But is that a shot at Snooki?
A little bit. Beyond my weekly desire to convince anyone they're still in the at-large picture, but is it reasonable to think that they have as legit a shot as anybody to win this conference tournament?
Steve, I've been kind of a skeptic all season. I've just been saying, let's see them put it together for 2 weeks at least before we jump on board with this team. But I'll give them some credit. That's what they've done. The last 2 weeks have been the best 2 weeks of basketball they've played all season. And on one hand, it's encouraging because it looks like they're finally starting to put it together. On the other hand, it's kind of frustrating. It's like, what took you guys so long? I mean, we're seeing the potential that was there this whole time, but for whatever reason, it's haven't put it together until now. But that's kind of been my benchmark, is like, hey, put together four good games in a row, and then we'll talk about whether you can do that at the Pac-12 tournament. So they have. They've played four really good games now in a row. It's a different deal to go down to Las Vegas and have to do that in the span of 4 days.
Right.
Really hard to do. The last team to do it was Colorado in 2012 when the Buffs won it as a 6 seed, and that kind of coincidentally was the last time that the Pac-12 is as bad as it is this year. So if you want to, if you want to try to make all the stars line up, this kind of looks like that 2012 season when the league was down. Everybody was kind of either on the bubble or needing to win the tournament to get in. That was a year that a 6 seed made a run and won the whole thing. So maybe Oregon can do that this year.
All right, I'm convinced. I think when the season started with the team coming back, the 2 5-stars, I think a lot of people focused on what the offense could be. Then they made this transformation. I mean, they've been regularly holding opponents to like season low point totals. They ended up the best in league for points. So I guess what I'm saying is, do you kind of have to doff your cap to Altman, who was like, all right, I thought I had this team, now I have this team, nothing's going right, but man, that guy tinkers and looks for answers, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, you certainly can't overstate how much it affected Oregon when Bol Bol went down. I was talking to Sean Miller after that Arizona game, and he said, look, Bol Bol is the best player in the Pac-12. And if you're Dana Altman, you're going to build your entire team around Bol. And so when Bol goes down after 9 games, I mean, it just completely changed the entire foundation of what this team was supposed to be. And you do give credit to Dana Altman because he is such a good coach, and he's always gotten the most out of his teams. And he's never had, at least at Oregon, he's never had a team quite like this one, a situation quite like he had with Bol. So it took him a while, and it took him a long time. It probably took him too long, honestly, for them to really be able to, maximize what this season could have been. But it does seem like they've found something now. They've played this bigger lineup, and Francis Okoro, who is a guy who, probably should be in high school right now,
right,
it looks like he's sort of starting to come around and starting to figure some things out, and it's been a really big factor for them these last few games. And on top of that, Peyton Pritchard's playing really well. So again, you know, it's kind of frustrating because it's like, man, why couldn't they figure this out earlier? But you just can't diminish how big a transition that was for them when Bowl went down. And to be putting it together now, maybe it's too little too late, but I guess it's better than going the whole season and never figuring things out.
Yeah, gives fans optimism heading into tomorrow night. A couple final thoughts for Austin Meek of the Register Guard. So I saw you covered some high school hoops. I believe all the big state tournaments are wrapped now. I know it's not your typical beat, but so what did you get to cover? I'm always curious about the atmosphere. What kind of experience was that for you?
You know, it was kind of fun. Kind of took me back to my younger days of covering high school sports. You're right. I don't get a chance to do it very often. Usually the high school state tournaments are running at the same time as the Pac-12 tournament. This year, I think the Pac-12 is a week later, so I actually was around. We ended up with three teams playing for state championships, which a couple of those were teams that got hot in the tournament and maybe weren't necessarily projected to be there. So, I got the call on Saturday to run up to Forest Grove, which is a I'd never been there before. It's a little bit of a drive, especially coming home at about 1 in the morning. But, it was kind of fun. I covered the Marist girls. They played Baker. It was a good game. Came down to the last possession. Fortunately, they didn't pull it off. It's kind of fun. I kind of enjoyed it.
Cool. Let's go to the Oregon women. In that final against Stanford, I mean, they'd already played that knockdown drag out against UCLA. They struggled to put Arizona away. Hebert wasn't 100%, no Taylor Chavez, short bench to begin with. And obviously Stanford, I just would assume, was out for like blood revenge after that 40-point blowout. Do you think if you evaluate just that one game, did the loss show some vulnerabilities? Would you chalk it up to being gutty in defeat? Kind of what did you make of them losing that final after just, you know, wiping the floor with them down at Palo Alto?
I thought they looked tired. Didn't you think so?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, for a team, you know, as you mentioned, with the short bench that Oregon has played with all season, and then you get a couple injuries in the mix, you know, you've got maybe a couple players a little bit under the weather, you're coming off an overtime game, playing your third game in 3 days, I just thought they looked gassed. You know, and I give Oregon some credit for coming back in that game and making it interesting, but I just thought, you know, they got back, they got it tied or maybe got the lead, and then you could just tell they were out of gas. So I'm not too worried about it, although, you know, it does, I think, maybe give you a little bit of pause about how this team is going to be able to navigate the NCAA tournament unless they can get healthier here in the next week or so. The good news is they do have a week to get ready, to get rested, and they're not going to have to play 3 in 3 days in the NCAA tournament. You always get a little bit of a break. So I think they'll be okay, but you know they're definitely going to need some time to regroup. I think they're kind of worn out after a tough regular season, and so I think a lot of it's going to depend on how quick they can recharge and bounce back for the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I was going to say, if timing is everything, the women not having Selection Sunday right into the tournament, waiting a week, was probably good timing now. So
yeah, they need that.
You travel safe. I would say enjoy Vegas. That seems like almost an oxymoron. I don't know how you could not. But enjoy the tournament. Obviously, on behalf of Oregon fans, I hope you're there for most of the weekend. And we'll catch up next week when we're talking big dance.
All right. Well, hey, I'll be there no matter what. So the only question is whether I'm working or whether I'm just sitting at the sports book. So either way, I think I'll be all right.
All right. Have a great time, Austin. Always a pleasure, man. Take it easy.
All right. Thanks, Steve.